opposed to both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Former CIA official Evan McMullen is launching an independent campaign for president. Good morning, live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. And thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. We are always live at 9. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and the NPR One app and watch the show with video on demand at our partner, TVJax.com. Just ahead, we'll hear from Florida political strategist Rick Wilson, one of the major Republican forces behind the McMullen campaign. What are your thoughts about this? Get on the line right now at 549-2937. Then later, local attorney Wayne Hogan talking about a new law aimed at protecting car renters in the state. And it's Thursday. A look later at weekend events with The Spectator. All of that and more ahead. But first this hour, a group of Republicans who failed to prevent Donald Trump from winning the GOP nomination for president are throwing their support behind the just-announced candidacy of former CIA official and Mormon missionary Evan McMullen. Mr. McMullen, who until recently worked on policy development with the House Republican Conference, has missed the ballot access deadlines in more than two dozen states. But his supporters and advisors say they have a strategy to mount a credible campaign. With more on that, joining us by phone from Tallahassee, we welcome Republican political consultant Rick Wilson, who's been a vocal critic of Donald Trump and is an advisor to the McMullen campaign. He's on the line. Good morning, Rick. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And here's our question to callers. If you're just hearing about this, what are your thoughts about the newly announced campaign of Evan McMullen for president and the other alternative candidates in the race? Give us a call. 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email, tweet the show, or weigh in on our Facebook page. Rick Wilson, from the start, you have been vocally opposed to the candidacy of Donald Trump. In fact, you're a founder of the Never Trump movement on social media. You're now backing Evan McMullen, a Republican, a former CIA official who also passionately opposes Donald Trump. But as we're learning about this candidacy, we're seeing that Mr. McMullen isn't even on the ballot in quite a few states. So what is the strategy to mount a credible campaign for him at this stage in the game?
Well, the key word about the ballot access is yet. There are a number of states that still haven't closed their ballot access, and we are in those states petitioning. We are in those states filing. We are in those states seeking minor party ballot access. In the states where ballot access deadlines have passed, we are pursuing minor party ballot access, such as the Reform Party, the Conservative Party. Those things exist in many, many states. They have ballot access that is available to them in this cycle. We're negotiating with a lot of those parties to gain access to the ballot through their ballot lines. We are finally given the opportunity to go the litigation route. In almost every state, in every case where you've tested ballot access in the past in the courts have granted that access to the third party and minor party candidates, especially if they can show that they're a serious candidacy and they're not just the local perennial. And Evan is certainly a serious candidate. So we're going to have very wide ballot access. We're going to be able to get up to a very high electoral college vote number, which the states will be able to get into the ballot on. And even though those deadlines have passed in some states, they're closed, but they're not. But the door isn't completely closed. We're going to wedge ourselves through it as best we can, but through a variety of methods. And we've got a lot of people who have come out. We've had over 60,000 people contact us to become involved, to volunteer in the states, to do petitioning, to do ballot access. And a lot of this will come out to be, folks at the grassroots who go out and knock doors and ask their neighbors to sign up and get Evan on the ballot.
It's 549-2937 to connect with GOP strategist Rick Wilson. He's on the line from Tallahassee with more about the newly announced campaign for president by former CIA official Evan McMullen. Let me ask you, Rick, on your Twitter page, you've pinned a tweet at the top of the page, your recent column in the New York Daily News, where you're calling on Republicans to, in your words, beat Donald Trump like a drum. And I'm going to quote here. You say Donald Trump is the single worst major party nominee in modern history, a man with no political core who lies practically every time he speaks and is patently unstable. Your argument is that the nation needs to not just beat Donald Trump in November, but ensure, as you say, that he is on the business end of a decisive, humiliating defeat so that the terribly divisive forces he has unleashed are delivered a death blow. Is your support for Evan McMullen designed to cut off Donald Trump's narrow path, narrow margin of victory in the Electoral College just enough to make sure that he loses this election?
Listen, Donald Trump was doing a great job of losing this election before Evan got involved. Okay, he was going to lose this election in a pretty severe fashion. But let's take this in two tracks. The first track is: are Donald Trump's politics the kind of politics Americans can be proud of? Are Donald Trump's politics the kind of politics Americans want to have their country associated with in the future? And I think almost universally that answer is hell no. And so I do think it is important that we have campaigns and candidates who Americans can rely on, who they can trust, who they feel like they can they're going to be listened to, and who project the values that this country was founded on, and who project the values that Americans today share. Donald Trump does none of those things. Now, on the other side of the coin, Hillary Clinton does none of those things either. She is as divisive as Trump in her way. She is perceived by the American people as dishonest, as corrupt, as someone who is self-dealing. And so both of these major party candidates right now have significant flaws, and they both have significant detriments to the political culture of the country. I think it's really important to distinguish the fact that although I am anti-Donald Trump, and although most people supporting Evan, in the early going, have done so because they've been very upset by and troubled by and offended by the way that Trump has treated this country, Hillary Clinton doesn't get a free pass, and Hillary Clinton doesn't get a handshake on this. There's nothing about this campaign that's meant to empower Hillary Clinton either.
Right. And you've been vocal about that from the beginning, that you are opposed to both the two major party candidates. And do you see Evan McMullen as it sounds as though you really see Evan McMullen as a credible alternative for those who are uncomfortable voting for either the Democrat or the Republican nominee? Mr. McMullen is a Republican, but he will be running as an independent, correct?
He's running as an independent. That's correct.
Yeah. And I just have to ask you, as we look through his record, former CIA official, former Mormon missionary, national security background, and he is backed by the group Better for America. And earlier in the year, that group began an effort to get on the ballot in as many states as possible with the hope of drafting a candidate. You and others who supported the campaign of Mitt Romney are involved in this effort. And clearly, you've tapped into the discontent many feel about the high unfavorables both of these major candidates have in the race. And you've also been quoted as saying it's never too late to do the right thing. But realistically, Rick, is it too late? Is this a Hail Mary pass? Is this a kamikaze effort?
Well, there's a difference between a Hail Mary and a kamikaze. And a Hail Mary, which I think this could be well said to be, we've never for a moment said that we've taken the easiest path to get here. We've never for a moment said that this is going to be something that we declare and we win. We're not in that position. Evan's going to put in the work, the sweat equity, the time. We're going to spend the next 88 days busting our tails every single day and talking about why Evan is offering something that is a better vision for America and a better choice between these two candidates and someone who served his country. I mean, and when we say Evan was a CIA official, I think it's actually important to clarify what that meant. Mm-hmm. Evan spent 11 years in the CIA in as an undercover national intelligence, national clandestine service agent, working undercover against Al-Qaeda, against ISIS, against the worst of the worst extremists in this long-running global fight against terror. And this is a person, unlike Donald Trump, who watches war movies and thinks he's a general, this is a person who has looked Al-Qaeda and looked ISIS in the eye and gone after them and dismantled their networks, gone after them and had their leaders brought their leaders to justice and gone after them in ways that you know, I don't know the secrets of, because he can't discuss them. But the fact that he's highly decorated, and the fact that CIA officers who are now retired are coming out of the woodwork and calling us and saying, within the limits of my oath, I want to help Evan. This is a guy held in very, very high regard in the intelligence community. And because mm-hmm. he's fought on the front lines, mm-hmm. and because he's done the actual work of pushing back against these terrorist groups that are the key national security threat facing our country.
And let me ask you as well. The other day, Donald Trump caused a fresh round of controversy in a campaign speech where he urged his supporters to vote for him instead of Hillary Clinton because of the justices she might appoint to the Supreme Court. Let's listen to this.
Hillary wants to essentially abolish the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know.
Okay, Donald Trump has faced resounding criticism, bipartisan criticism for that comment, which some heard Donald Trump appearing to call for an incitement to violence against Hillary Clinton. Of course, the Trump campaign is saying, no, that's not what he meant at all. Your thoughts about that?
It says something about your campaign if every single day, not just once in a while, but every single day, your campaign staff is forced to walk back a statement that with the most convoluted, twisted, revisionist history of what you said or what you meant to say. It says something a lot about your character and about your campaign. And in this case, what it says is that Donald Trump thinks he can get away with something that is an overt threat. And the fact of the matter is, that was something where if Donald Trump said something like that in an indefinite tense, he could have. But that was positing that Hillary Clinton had won the election and was naming her judges and then calling on Second Amendment people to take action. That's not prospective. That is direct. And the fact of the matter is, you know, Donald Trump once again gets away with it. But, you know, if an ordinary citizen came out and said something like that, they'd get a knock on the door from the Secret Service.
Didn't the Secret Service have a conversation with Donald Trump about that?
Yes, and then, of course, Donald Trump lied about it and said, no, we've never heard from them. They never said a word to us. Well, they confirmed it yesterday to a variety of media sources, because of course they did. This is a guy who leveled a threat. And you know what? You can dislike Hillary all you want. You're not allowed to talk about killing her on the campaign trail. It's just how it works. You could use a metaphor, and that'd be fine. You could say, you know, folks, we're going to go out there on election day, and we're going to campaign so hard, and we're going to work so hard, we're going to take Hillary out. That's a different way of saying something like that. But Donald Trump recognizes that he has an infinite capacity to revise history. And honestly, what it does is it diminishes our dialogue politically. It makes us further and further distant from thinking that our political dialogue is about truth and ideas and about a competition of ideas, and more about the sort of bluster and campy insanity of a guy like Donald Trump.
And if you're just tuning in, we're speaking right now with GOP consultant and strategist Rick Wilson. He's on the line from Tallahassee with more about his support for a very late in the game candidate for president, Republican Evan McMullen, who's mounting an independent campaign to oppose both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. We want your calls right now. Lots of people waiting on hold, 549-2937 to join us. Let's begin with Tom in Jacksonville. Hey, Tom, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Go ahead.
Well, anyway, I was just wanting to say that I'm going to support this guy, and the reason why is because Donald Trump is simply a carnival barker. He has no idea how to run a country, and Hillary Clinton strikes me as someone totally dishonest. She reminds me of a gangster. There's no good choices right now, and Evan sounds to me like a way better choice, and I just hope that people come to their senses and and vote for somebody that can do something for the country. And one other comment, both Republicans and Democrats are responsible and at fault for the paralysis in Washington for the past 10 years. And I think the American people are sick of it. And that's why Donald Trump even has the popularity that he has, because people are sick of the paralysis in Washington. That's all I got. I'll take your answer
sure.
off the air.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Rick, what about Tom's point of view there?
Well, look, I think people are sick of the paralysis in Washington. And unfortunately, either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump buys you the same paralysis, only with a leadership that is increasingly distrusted at the top of the ticket. And the Hillary Clinton, you know, this argument from Trump that Hillary Clinton will easily get her judges, I think Republicans in the Senate will set themselves on fire before they, quote, easily give Hillary her judges. I think if Donald Trump is elected, it's a compromise, because the down ballot races will be destroyed by Trump, and he'll probably have a Democratic Senate to contend with. And I'm pretty sure Senator Chuck Schumer isn't going to let Trump have anybody on the list he wants. And so we're going to have more gridlock on the Supreme Court stuff. We're going to have more gridlock in terms of policy. Hillary Clinton's policies will overreach pretty dramatically, and Donald Trump's policies will be economically destructive, and will cause a trade war, and will cause an economic collapse, because they're so damaging. And that comes from economists left, right, center, everywhere. They look at Donald Trump's so-called economic plan and recoil in terror.
Let me ask you as a follow-up, Rick, is Evan McMullen going to be on the ballot in Florida? And here's a part two of a question. Here's a tweet for you from a listener. Two Republican former governors will be on the ballot in all 50 states. Why doesn't your guest support Johnson Weld? That's the Libertarian ticket for president.
Well, look, there are a lot of folks who look at Johnson and Weld and said they're great guys. They've got some things to say. But unfortunately, in terms of some of their politics, they don't work for center right and even moderate right Republicans.
Why not? Where do you differ with them?
Well, there's a couple of issues. One of which is life, and the question of abortion. One of which is religious liberty, and these are things that have caused a lot of Republicans to go, not quite those guys. And, you know, an honest answer, we've got two candidates on the major parties who are 70 years old, and two candidates in the Libertarian Party who are 70 years old. And it feels like a sort of retread of you know, just as Hillary Clinton is a retread of every Democratic greatest hits album. These guys sort of feel like a retread of a lot of libertarian stuff that sounds great when you're in the Ayn Rand Club in the college dorm, and doesn't quite hit the same way in real life. For instance, they're very much isolationists. They're very much, you know, retreat from the world, pull up a wall behind us, and we'll be okay. We've learned that lesson a lot of times in this country, and we're never okay that way. So from social conservatives, there's difficulty. From foreign policy conservatives, there's difficulty. And they don't quite make the sell. And so Evan is a center-right candidate, and Evan is a guy who understands that there are conservative solutions for this country that are affirmative, that are positive, and that the libertarians won't provide.
And is he on the ballot in Florida? How many states will he actually be on the ballot in November?
We should be on the ballot in Florida shortly. We're going to be updating our ballot access every day. We should be on Utah and Colorado today, two of our first big hits. We've got filings going on in about 30 states today for various actions. We're going to be working very hard, like I said, to get a very broad ballot access across the country.
And if you're just tuning in, we're talking right now with GOP strategist and consultant Rick Wilson. He is on the line from Tallahassee, sharing his support of late-in-the-game Republican candidate Evan McMullen, who's mounting an independent bid for president. What are your thoughts about this? We're going to go back to the phones right now at 549-2937. John in San Marco. Hi, John. Good morning.
Good morning, beautiful. This is Hancock.
Good morning. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, sir. I have a lot of PTSD from being an LGBT person in a state where 103 people were shot. I appreciate your patience. I'm really trying to be funny. You are genius. It's absolutely genius. I think what Trump is doing, by the way, Trump is Curry. Curry is Trump. And if you vote a tax on yourself, people, it's ridiculous.
But John, what's your comment about Evan McMullen? Where are you on that? That's what we're talking about.
You are running for office for attention to get free media. And again, this is a very hard, backhanded compliment. But Trump is going to lose. Do any of you know a game where you can lose and actually have Trump in your hand? It's possible. He's going to lose. So I just think it's funny. You're the one that needs to be on the radio talking, not me.
All right.
But this is what Trump just wants attention.
All right. Thanks for the call, John.
He's going to back out.
Thanks for the call, John. Is Trump okay? Rick Wilson, do you agree with John that Donald Trump is going to lose anyway? Let's look at the polling because, of course, we've got a couple months to go. But the latest polling average, and I'm going by the website Real Clear Politics, it shows Hillary Clinton up by almost 8 points right now. Now, a lot can change between now and Election Day, but you know, the odds makers are giving Hillary Clinton about an 70 to 80% chance of winning this election. If it looks as though Donald Trump is likely to lose, why go to all this trouble of putting another candidate on the ballot since you oppose Trump so strongly?
Well, there are a couple of factors here. One is that Hillary Clinton presents just as many poor options as Trump. But the other issue, it's been part of the theory of the case all along, is driven by the fact that we believe there's a real possibility Donald Trump does not finish this race. We believe it's a real possibility we could be the one conservative alternative in this race because Donald Trump is obviously unstable.
You think he's going to drop out? You think he's going to drop out?
I think there is a non-zero probability that Donald Trump's polls will fall into the low 20s. He will see the scope of the destruction coming at him, and he will withdraw from this race. He's not a strong person. This is the thing that people don't understand about Trump. The bluster and the yelling and the name-calling, those are the signs of a weak, weak man. He is a weak person. And he has managed to con his way and scam his way to the point he's at right now. But this is a guy who sees the freight train charging at him at 100 miles an hour, and it is a devastating loss. And he thought going into this would improve his brand. Let me tell you, the thing that will hurt his brand tremendously is the fact that Hillary Clinton will spank him like a baby on Election Day. We believe there's a psychological profile to this guy where he's very weak. And mentally, he's very weak. He's very disconnected from reality. And he's been told by people for so long, you know, you're the emperor, your clothes are beautiful, you're not buck naked. And he's buck naked. He's going to realize this. He's also starting to hate the day. Every day he gets up, it's not fun anymore. It's not fun anymore to go out and do the morning shows because now they're asking him tough questions. It's not fun anymore to go out and brag about beating guys in the primary because the primary is over. So we think that there's a lot of instability with Donald Trump, a lot of mental instability, a lot of psychological instability, and he acts in precipitous ways. And we believe there's a real chance that Donald Trump could quit this ticket at any moment.
Okay. Well, let me ask you as well, and for those that have agreed with you about what they perceive as Donald Trump's psychological profile and unfitness for the office, let me ask you, Rick, you are a seasoned GOP operative and strategist. What would you say to those who've observed this very strange election cycle and pointed to the fact that despite all of those issues around Trump, that he is tapping into where the Republican Party actually is today, not where really smart strategists and thinkers and policymakers have been saying it is for decades, that the base, it wants different things. The base isn't as concerned with the traditional three-legged stool of conservatism. The base has moved to a completely different place, and Trump is speaking to that. What does that say about the future of the GOP, however this election comes out?
Well, Trump activated about 33.7% of the Republican base, okay? He got about 37% of the vote overall in the primaries, of which a meaningful fraction were crossover Democrats, and a meaningful fraction were independents in states with open primaries. So it's a smaller number of folks who were taken in by a combination, not just of Trump's ideological positions, because honestly, those are kind of a hot mess. They kind of know what they are, but they kind of don't. They were taken in by Trump's showmanship, his affect, his name ID, the fact that he's been a reality TV star for decades, the fact that he's a celebrity, and Americans love a celebrity. So a lot of the things that come together with Trump in this one gumbo of unbelievably dangerous politics are unique. And Trump is sui generis. This is a guy who is not, you can't replicate Trump. If candidate John Smith went out and ran on Trumpism for president, he'd be laughed out of the room. And so in that regard, you've got a guy who isn't going to be, you're not going to get this guy over and over again as your candidate, because there's just not another Trump. And that's a great thing for the American Republic. So are there issues that Trump has touched on that activate a certain part of the Republican base? Sure. And one of those issues is trade, where Americans have in the course of our economy transitioning from a more heavy industrial model to a more technologically driven model, there have been jobs lost in that. Some of those jobs went overseas, but the majority of those jobs actually went to robots and automation and supply chain improvements and things like that. But those folks have been disrupted. They have legitimate worries and fears about their lives and their lifestyles, and he's tapped into that. Now, in his case, what he's done is blamed brown people for it, blamed immigration for it, blamed the wily Chinese and the clever Mexicans in ways that aren't just slightly racist, but flaming racism. And this is a guy who has, because he's perceived to be an alleged billionaire, he has some credibility with people who aren't sophisticated about international finance, who aren't sophisticated about business, and they think Trump is the apotheosis of the businessman image.
And let me ask you as a follow-up, what would you say to those who've challenged you, and I've seen you be interviewed about this all across the political spectrum, Rick, what would you say to those who've challenged you and said that over the decades, since the election, or since the candidacy, rather, of Barry Goldwater, Republicans have pandered to those nativist and xenophobic elements in the American body politic, and now the chickens have come home to roost with Donald Trump? What would you say to those who would argue that Republicans have no one to blame but themselves for this state of affairs?
Well, this is sort of a beloved trope on the left about the Republican Party. And I can always tell you, somebody's a sophisticated or unsophisticated thinker about and a student of the history of the Republican Party. The minute they say the words, but the Southern strategy, well, guess what? The Southern strategy is sort of a dragon out there that liberals love to talk about in the woods. And if you read any of the substantive histories of the Republican Party, particularly in the South, and I recommend Merle and Earl Black's Rise of the Southern Republicans, or Jay Cost's epic book on it. These are themes that the Democrats say we're using, but we typically don't. And the fact of the matter is, Southern Republicanism has a very close racial character, especially since the 80s. Remember, the Southern strategy was written in one memo, and the memo was shot down by the Nixon campaign. So, the famous Lee Atwater quote is taken deeply out of context. So this is sort of a play that is pretty bogus. If you look at 1988, the first campaign where I was involved, George H.W. Bush went out of his way to campaign for Hispanics. George W. Bush ran a parallel English-Spanish campaign. He talked about opportunity in the African-American community. These are not themes that define Republican Party politics today in any way whatsoever, until you get Donald Trump in the mix, where a lot of people with very dark ideas in this country, and a lot of people who do still harbor some racial animus out there, over racial animus, you know, look at him as a perfect vehicle to activate a very small fraction, but an existing fraction in American politics. And these people aren't Republicans either. A lot of them are third-party neo-Nazi party people, or nationalists, or what they call traditionalist worker type, and they've got a certain ideology that is racially inflected in a way that is not representative of American values.
And let me get a few more calls on the air for you, Rick.
Trump is their guy.
Yeah, let me see. Lots of folks waiting to connect with you. Let's go to Tom on the UNF campus. Hi, Tom. Good morning.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, hi. So I'm a centrist. I was not going to vote for Donald Trump because he's a clown, but then I was going to vote Democrat, and then I watched the Democratic convention, and the left seems to be just wholeheartedly embracing identity politics. That seems to be their only issue. I simply can't vote for that. I think that what modern identity politics is, the truly like divisive idea that is separating us.
Well, who will you vote for, Tom? Who will you vote for?
Yeah, that's so. I would love to hear Mr. McMullen's position on these things. I just see there's no discussion of actual ideas and their merits. It's only discussion of the skin color or the gender.
All right.
Who the ideas?
Well, Tom, I thank you for your question, and I think you'll find that Evan does practice identity politics, and that's American. And this is a guy who's worked all over the world. He's worked with people of every race and ethnic background. And, you know, he's done mission work in Brazil, and he's done work in the defense of our country across the globe, South Asia, the Middle East, North Africa, other locations. And he has a fundamental belief that this is a country with opportunity for everyone.
And let me ask you, Rick. Since we're running a little short on time, where does the campaign go? Where does the McMullen effort go from here?
Well, we are going hammer and tongs with getting the message out about Evan right now. He is doing media. He's doing a lot of television interviews right now because that's the way that we can reach the most people in the shortest time. We are traveling. He's going to be on the road every day for the next 89 days. We're going to travel across the country. We're going to be meeting with people across the country. We're going to do events and town hall meetings starting in the next week or so. We're raising money across the country to do the, to fuel this machine. And he's going to continue to fight to get exposure. And we're going to ask. We're going to hopefully can get on the debate stage coming up. We're going to try to get our numbers up in the range where we can appeal to the debate commission to put us on the stage. Because we believe that Evan will be a powerful and valuable voice in the debates that are coming.
All right. Well, we thank you for being with us on the line from Tallahassee. Thanks so much, Rick, for joining the program.
It's a pleasure. Next time we speak, I'll likely be on the road again. I literally came home long enough to grab clothes and head back out.
Oh, wow. Okay. He is GOP strategist Rick Wilson, backing the newly launched campaign for president of Evan McMullen. Much more still ahead later, The Spectator with some weekend ideas. But up next, advice and a word of warning for anyone renting a car. We'll tell you about it right after this.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Rukmini Kalamaki, who covers ISIS and Al-Qaeda for the New York Times. She'll tell us what she learned from a German man who joined ISIS and trained in Syria before becoming disillusioned. And we'll talk about interviewing women who had been kept by ISIS as sex slaves and how ISIS justified it. Join us. Weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Wouldn't it be nice to know what's in the local daily newspaper, even if you have blindness or diminishing eyesight? WJCT's radio reading service can help. You'll hear what's in the Florida Times Union every day. Articles, op-eds, obituaries, even the comics. Sign up at wjct.org/radio reading. Our thanks to the Florida Eye Specialists, Delta Gamma of UNF, and the Uptown Civitan Club for helping give voice to the printed word.
Hello, this is Todd Smith, your Deputy Director for the City of Jacksonville's Emergency Preparedness Division. Disasters can strike with little to no notice. Create your disaster kit now, including water, non-perishable foods, batteries, flashlight, weather radio, and important documents. Visit jacksready.com for more information and tune to 89.9, the designated emergency broadcaster for Northeast Florida.
This segment is brought to you by Colo CSX Data Center Hosting Solutions.
Welcome back. Well, good news to report if you're planning to rent a car anytime soon. You might be surprised to learn that up until as recently as June, it was legal for rental car companies to rent you an unrepaired, recalled vehicle. But thanks to a new federal law, the Safe Rental Car Act, all that's changed. Attorney Wayne Hogan of the Terrell Hogan Firm is here to tell us all about it. I just rented a car last month, so hopefully it was not an unrepaired, recalled vehicle, Wayne. Thanks for being with us.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
So how did this all come about?
Well, this is a good example of a family suffering a tragedy and trying to make something good come out of that.
Oh, okay.
And, 2 years ago, I was here, and we talked about the fact that this lady whose daughters had died, rented a PT Cruiser. They were the fourth renters back in California. Mm-hmm. They died when it caught on fire and went out of control. She decided to do something about it and demanded that Congress take action, and eventually, just this past year, they've done that this year.
And they've passed the Safe Rental Car Act. They passed this in June. How does it protect us if we're renting a vehicle?
Well, if you rent the car and from a larger company, they have to remove cars that have been recalled for defects mm-hmm. from their inventory within 48 hours of the time that they receive notice of that. Many of the companies have to do it within 24 hours. That's awfully important in a state like Florida where there are so many rental cars, not just the ones that any of us might rent, but people from all over the world that are here in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
And there have been so many recalls within the past few years. Millions, for example, 51 million vehicles were recalled for defects in 2014.
Wow. Well, how can we keep these companies honest? How do we know they're actually following the law?
Well, time and the facts will tell. We know that. But I've seen trade publications that indicate that the rental car companies are already preparing to make relationships with car dealers in order to get these cars repaired. So they obviously are liable if they do rent them to somebody without repairing them for personal injury or wrongful death if that occurs. But this is awfully dangerous, and now they are required to fix them before they rent them. They can be also punished by penalties up to $35 million for multiple incidents.
Oh, wow.
As well.
That's a pretty stiff penalty.
That's right.
Okay, so this law sounds like it has some teeth in it, often they don't, but this sounds like it does.
The law has teeth in it. The companies know they're supposed to comply with it. I just wish that it were broader because it did not include used cars.
Okay, now this covers rental cars. Does it also cover used car purchases?
That's the issue. If you go to the used car dealer, the statute does not require them to do something about it. New car dealers cannot sell you a new car if before it's been repaired, if there's been a recall. But used car dealers, and so here's where people, the consumer, can really help themselves. They can go on the safercar.org or safercar.gov, which is the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration website, put in the VIN number for that car or put in the name of the type of car, the model, and they can tell whether that has been recalled.
Doesn't Carfax do much the same?
I think there are companies, obviously, that do it. The safercar.org, you can put in the specific VIN. Either way you do it, it's awfully important because you're not necessarily going to get the straight story from the guy that's trying to sell you a used car.
And if you're on vacation and you rent a car, do you recommend doing the same thing with the VIN number of
your
rental?
It's easy to do, and you certainly want to ask the company, here's the rule. Has this car been complied? Recalled? If it has it been fixed?
So the Safe Rental Car Act, in effect, it went into effect in June, and hopefully we'll save some lives out there on the roads.
You know, this is a, and just think of the, this instance, what MAD did, one family taking steps, enddistracteddriving.org is another example. All over the country, families are trying to make a difference, even when tragedies have happened in their families, to protect others.
Important information, especially here in Florida, as you said, where so many folks rent vehicles. Wayne Hogan, thanks as always for being with us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Melissa.
And TerrellHogan.com is the website for more about the Safe Rental Car Act, now in effect in this country. And we'll be right back.
Thank you so much.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, reporters and editors across America are grappling with how to cover Donald Trump, his unorthodox presidential campaign, and what some call dangerous rhetoric have led journalists to debate the value of objectivity, the media, and Donald Trump. Weekdays at 10, right after First Coast Connect on 89.9 FM WJCT.
Unlock your newest member benefit. Over 1,000 episodes of your favorite PBS shows. American Masters. Antiques Roadshow. Nature. Nova. Masterpiece. Watch the best of PBS anytime, anywhere. Become a member. Sign in and start streaming today.
WJCT.org/passport. WJCT and Community First Credit Union are pleased to announce that Pedro Noguera, national expert on public education in America, is this year's morning keynote speaker at Teach, Saturday, October 8th at the Hyatt Regency Hotel. Tickets are $30. For more information, visit wjct.org/teach.
Welcome back. Well, if you're trying to stay cool out there, show us on Instagram. Put a photo on there that shows how you're trying to beat the heat, and make sure to use the hashtag #ILoveWJCT. We'll pick our favorite and publish it in our First Read newsletter this Friday. Subscribe to the First Read at WJCTnews.org. And from Friday through Sunday, there is so much going on all around town this weekend. The Jaguars are bringing the party to the Big Apple tonight, and that's just one of the items on the Spectator's list, and she is the mistress of mayhem, the maven of mirth, the one and only Carrie Spiteman.
Yay. You keep forgetting you call me queen of mirth.
No. I've got to use the alliteration. It works much
Fine.
Better.
I've been demoted.
No, never.
All right,
so the
what
Jaguars playing New York tonight.
That is correct. You can watch it on Channel 4, the local station at 7:40.
Right. Okay. Oh, Slightly Stupid is in town tonight. I love them.
Do you?
Yeah, they're fun.
I would not have guessed that. They will be with special guests Soja.
Okay.
Not S-O-J-A. I'm out of the... I'm stuck in the 80s. Thank you. Kind of like OAR. O-A-R. Fortunate Youth. They will be at 5:30, which is
Oh, they start a little early. Yeah. Okay. So that's tonight.
Yes.
Oh, Jackass star comedian Steve-O coming to the comedy
Can you say
zone.
That word?
I guess we just did.
Jack Bleep. yes, he was also on Dancing with the Stars, which
I forgot about.
He injured himself and had to step out. He has a best-selling book, but yeah, he will be there tonight, Friday and Saturday.
And ComedyZone.com for tickets. They do such a great job bringing fun people in. Okay, Hemming Park has had its troubles lately financially, but you can get out and support them Saturday.
You can forget all about those troubles.
Forget the troubles at the Hemming Park Beer Fest this Saturday.
Yes, they will have nearly 100 craft and import beers and ciders. They'll have local food trucks, and I believe your ticket gets you unlimited samples.
Oh, very
and
nice.
Actually, if you go on my Facebook page, I have a discount code.
Very nice.
For tickets.
Now, speaking of tickets, Spectator, you have a ticket giveaway.
I have all kinds of stuff to give away
right
today.
Now on
Come
the show.
On.
What are we doing? We have some free tickets.
Yes. For, you called it, is it GAM?
It's GAM, Games, Art, and Music. Your favorite.
See, I'm glad you said it.
I'm reading what you sent me.
Well, no, but I thought it was.
Your favorite video game-based charity art and party show is back, GAM, at the Museum and Gardens. This is such a fun event.
It is, and this one is like, it's cosplayers versus Street Fighter versus Mortal Kombat. It's like the versus is a thing. It's
right.
Like bad guys versus the good guys, girlfriends versus boyfriends.
Right, right. Anyone who's into that, into the gaming world, they need to go. It's Saturday at the museum. It's just called the museum.
It's off of Beach Boulevard.
Off Beach Boulevard.
Yes.
How many tickets do we have?
We have two.
Two free tickets to
Correct.
Games, Art, and Music. If you want these free tickets.
17 and up, let me.
Yeah, age 17 and up. Email us right now. At firstcoastconnect@wjct.org for your two free tickets to GAM, Games, Art, and Music, this Saturday at the museum.
What and am I going to wear? I don't know what to wear.
You know, you look like a cosplayer just
you know,
in regular
that's exactly
clothes.
What, that's exactly what I said. That's exactly what I said to
You
Ryan.
Don't need to wear any
of
the costume.
I'm getting my heart in today, so I will be all
You'll be
up.
Ready.
I know. And I'm a walking character.
You exactly. You're your own cosplay character. This is what I'm saying.
Yeah. That
anyway,
is the truth.
we will award two a winner at random if you email us right now for your two free tickets to GAM. Last but not least, an evening with Ray LaMontagne. Then we're going to talk about Women Who Rock the Blues.
Yes.
And but tell me about
he will be performing at the St. Augustine Amphitheater on Sunday.
Okay. And now let's get to the bottom of the list because it's the second annual Women Who Rock the Blues with Mama Blue, the Cat McWilliams Band, and Kim Redigies and the Black Cat Bones.
Lots of cats.
Through the magic of radio, look who we have in studio. Kim, good morning.
Yay.
Good to see you.
How are you?
And the Betty Fox Band.
Yes.
Oh, and
she's
Betty
our headliner
animals,
from
animal
themed.
Okay, this
Tampa.
Is Saturday night, Mojo Kitchen in Jack's Beach. This is so cool. One night only, four bands fronted by women. Will take the stage, including your own. Tell us about it.
Yes. Well, it's going to be a great experience. We're kind of making this like an evening out on the town. You get your dinner. We're going to have a parking lot pre-party at 8:30 where there'll be sliders and beer and wine. You got to have your beer and wine. And then you go into the venue and it's these four amazing groups. And then the only all-male group is Smokestack and they do the all-girl super jam at the end.
Oh, very nice.
So you're going to get different variations of blues. Caitlin, she's like Susan Tedeschi on the guitar. Then Mama Blue, she loves that gospel and rock. Black Cat Bones, we do hybrid. We mix the Latin fusion with the funk and the soul. And then Betty Fox, she's just this blonde bombshell. And when she starts singing, it's like some old, you know, soul that's come out of the 20s and it's just growly and it's funky.
Very
so
cool.
It's going to be a good evening.
Well, we're very lucky right now because you're going to do a little preview for us live in studio. What are
yes.
you singing?
This is called Come Home, Dear, the Same Way You Left Here. And I wrote this for someone I shared my life with who was a Marine. And he did five tours. And I just never knew if he'd come home. So that's what this song was about. Coming
All right.
home the same way he had left.
Here's Kim and the Black Cat Bones. Take a listen.
Suitcase is packed up and on the bed. Your closet is empty of all your clothes. The picture book, all that we had, is tucked away in the side of your traveling bed. 'Cause in about an hour I'm gonna have to wave goodbye as they take you away from me, from the sea or sky. And I'm suffering from another broken heart as you walk away from me once more. Oh. Well, then please come home, dear. Just dear, the same way you left you. Ooh. Oh, I said now, come home, dear, the same way you left me.
Jared Bell on guitar.
Yes, thank you for that. Oh,
we're
my gosh.
Away a scholarship as well to a young woman going into college, her freshman year, where she's about to graduate from high school, and she doesn't have to major in music because we want these children to have something to fall back on. But music has to be a part of her life. So we're very excited, and we do have a winner. I can't announce her name yet.
But Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Come on out Saturday night for the second annual Women Who Rock the Blues at Mojo Kitchen in Jacksonville Beach. Kim and the Black Cat Bones, Mama Blue, the Cat McWilliams Band, and international touring sensation Betty Fox and the Betty Fox Band, along with Smokestack. Going to be a great show. Such a beautiful performer. Thank you so much for being
tickets
with us.
Tickets are still available. We only have a few left. We're almost sold out.
Almost
so
sold out.
Get your tickets now.
Get your tickets now. Have a fun Saturday night of music at
Thank
the beaches.
You.
And that's our show today. Thanks for listening. Our producer is Sean Birch. Michelle Corum running the board today. Our show theme composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony's Pyotr Chepchik. Our podcast is up at iTunes and the NPR One app with video on demand at tvjax.com. Next on Diane Rehm, a look at the challenges for the media in covering Donald Trump. That's next. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT FM Jacksonville, your community, your world. We'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow for our Friday Media Roundtable. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.